The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with five Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all time?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months, and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies, Baby. Every week on Movies, Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies, Baby, wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies, Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies, Baby with five Y's. Movies, Baby!
Oh, it's the best show here tonight. How's everybody doing? We're doing something a little different tonight. It's a little bit of a mishmash, a pre-recordy kind of thing, so that's how it goes, but I want you to know that this is how it goes when you want nice clothes. Mac Weldon! That's what it's all about. You listen to me. I got this Mac Weldon stuff. They sent me a few things, a t-shirt and a hoodie. My hoodie's my favorite. It's my favorite hoodie. Their stuff is so well designed. They believe in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. It's easy to go to their website at macweldon.com and order stuff, a piece of cake. This hoodie, I could talk about this hoodie till the end of time. It's my favorite hoodie. It's the most comfortable clothes, the socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies. Yes, I was just talking about their hoodie. Oh, their hoodie. The sweatpants. Where's the hoodie? I want my hoodie back. Where's my hoodie? Someone's hiding it. They even have a line of silver underwear and shirts that are naturally antimicrobial, and they want you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, you can keep it, and they will refund you, no questions asked. Not only does Mac Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well, too. And like their hoodie, the hoodie. Go to MacWeldon.com, MacWeldon.com, and get 20% off using promo code BESTSHOW. That's MacWeldon.com. Use offer code BESTSHOW to get 20% off on anything you buy there, like their hoodie. Get the hoodie. Right? Who does it like? The hoodie. Right? Why don't you guys like the hoodie as much as I do? I like the hoodie. Hoodie!
The best show.
best show. Get your hoodie, bruh. Ah, why is that playing again? I told them not to play that again, but they played it. Oh, somebody's going to get smashed. Somebody's going to get smashed. That's more like it. Oh, my friends, welcome to the best show. Special late August summertime show. My name's Tom Sharpling. I'm the host of the best show. Doing something a little special tonight. A little bit of a pre-record of a thing. Don't think this is live. Don't call. I'm not going to answer the phone right now. You hear me? I'm not answering. Call. No, call right now. It's fine. How's that working for you? Right? What if I answer? Wouldn't that be weird? Then it's like, it turned out I was fibbing the whole time and I was here. But I'm not. It's the summer. We're enjoying the summer on the best show. The summer. And I'm here with two very special friends. The one and only Dudio, Jason Gore. How are you?
I'm great.
How's your summer going?
It's good. It's good. But I got to tell you, I'm already looking forward to fall. Mm-hmm. I thought about pumpkins the other day and got really excited.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. No joke. I thought about like a hayride or a corn maze.
Okay, well, if you thought about those things.
Right.
But you said you thought about a pumpkin and you got excited.
Yeah. The pumpkins are nice.
What do you think is going to do a dance?
I can only hope.
Well, that's a fair point, actually. If the pumpkins, I mean, do you carve your pumpkin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, look.
Well, Kristen makes a lot of pie, too. So that I'm excited for that.
So when you make pie out of a pumpkin.
Right.
Like, the funny thing is, like, pumpkin pie is so good.
Yeah.
But pumpkins are so gross and stringy.
Yeah. Well, you can't use a jack-o'-lantern pumpkin though. You gotta get one of those, like, Long Island cheese pumpkins.
What?
It's like the really flat white pumpkin. That's the best pumpkin for a pumpkin pie. Yeah, it really is.
Guess what I'm not eating anymore?
Pumpkin pie?
Pumpkin pie.
It's great.
That's what it's made out of? Those weird white pumpkins?
I mean, really classy pumpkin pies are.
Oh, I could almost throw up. Think of those gross white pumpkins. That's disgusting. Why did I picture it as an orange pumpkin?
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people do use regular pumpkins, but I mean...
But how could they?
The aficionados.
These are the worst. They're so string. What is it going to take you 3 days to turn that into pumpkin mush?
Yeah.
Pumpkin pie mush?
Well, I don't think you let it set out.
But how much of that goes into the pie?
All of the shell is what goes in the pie. None of the goop or...
The shell?
Yeah.
Like
the innards, but not like the stringy stuff for seeds.
You got to get those seeds out. That seems like a major undertaking.
Hold on a second.
Well, that's a snack in itself.
First of all,
is it really? Yeah.
Yet. I didn't introduce you yet. You're not here yet.
Okay.
Me and Jason are talking about slow your roll. So you got this pumpkin. Hold
right.
on.
Okay.
Uh-huh. A pumpkin consists of a hard pumpkin exterior.
Right.
The pumpkin meat.
Right.
That's like on the inside of the pumpkin.
Right.
That you'd have to scrape off.
Right.
And then the rest of that slop.
The slop and the stringy stuff.
Which makes up 98% of the pumpkin.
Yes.
Is the slop.
So the meat part.
Pumpkin slop. So the pumpkin slop does not factor into the pumpkin pie at all.
Nobody uses pumpkin slop for anything.
Who eats pumpkin slop? Animals?
I don't know. I don't even know if animals will eat pumpkin slop.
I gotta say, animals are eating pumpkin slop.
They might be choosy.
Have you ever met an animal?
I have met some animals.
A choosy animal?
I think when it comes to pumpkin slop, they might make
You're
a choice.
You're telling me you put a rat and some pumpkin slop. They're not going to eat that pumpkin
slop. Rat is going to turn its nose right up. Wander right away.
What about a deer?
I didn't introduce you yet. You're not here yet. I don't know what part of this guy. This guy thinks it's half his show. First of all, I want to say, last week, he said something. It cut me to the quick. Mm-hmm. I was doing my usual woe is me routine, which flares up every couple months. I waver from this is the best program anyone's ever heard and every one of you can suck it. I waver from that poll to the other poll being why am I here? Everything's falling apart. Maybe I should just quit. And I said to Mike, yeah, maybe I should shut it down for a while, like a 6-month shutdown. And Mike said, who's not here yet, by the way. Mike's not here yet. Mike said, yeah, you do what you gotta do.
Wasn't quite the same tone, but,
Well, first, now, wait. Let me welcome to the show, AP Mike. How are you?
I feel good, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Well, thanks for coming. Thanks for being here. Remember that when I said, yeah, what if I shut it down for 6 months? And you were like, let's just do the exchange now. Okay. Oh, why is it not going so well? Hold on, I'm going to pause. Oh, it's not going well again. Why does nobody, well, these other shows are making a ton of money. The show's hemorrhaging money. Maybe, remember 2010, Mike?
Yeah.
Remember the 2010 The Best Show shutdown?
I do.
Went for a couple months, right? Those were some pretty bleak stretch, huh?
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah. Maybe it's the, what do you think? Maybe it's time for another Best Show shutdown?
It's your call, Tom. Do what you gotta do.
I hate that. That.
There's no emotion.
Yeah, there's no emotion. That's exactly it, Jason. There was no emotion. None. That's what got me in the thing. Just like, there's just, you do what you gotta do. It's your call. You do what you gotta do.
It was
exactly it.
I was trying
Jason,
to say,
nailed it.
I was just trying to say, you're our leader, Tom. And you're the one who makes the major decisions. So that's what I was kind of deferring to you. It's your call, Tom.
That's how you said it, though. Yeah, you do what you got to do. Like, almost just like, yeah, give me a heads up on what's going on here. Almost just like, yeah, just give me a signal.
I think,
am I coming in or not?
I think you're reading it through a different
person. He's like a very hard hat. Roach, I want to take this call before they say goodbye. Best Show.
Hi, Tom. How's it going?
It's going well. To whom am I speaking?
This is Evan. I'm calling from Los Angeles, greatest city on earth.
Now, I want to say, first of all, you're here with your Ed Dudio's here, and AP Mike is here.
Hi, guys.
Also.
Hello, hello.
Hello.
So, what do you want to say, bro? You're from L.A.
So we're talking about us.
Where in L.A.?
We're talking about summer.
Where in L.A. are you?
Actually, not technically Los Angeles. Calling from Santa Monica.
Okay. Santa Monica.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice area, right?
Yeah, definitely.
What's your favorite place to eat in Santa Monica, Evan?
There's a good Mexican place called Gilbert's.
Gilbert's. Sounds very fancy.
No.
No? Okay.
Yeah.
No.
No.
So you, we're talking about the summer and the past summer memories or how this summer's going. Just talking about the summer.
Yeah.
Evan, tell me about your current summer for starters.
Well, that's what I want to talk about. Kind of a highlight of the summer so far was, seeing Brian Wilson at the Hollywood Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Yes. And I know he's still on tour now, so I would recommend if you have a chance to go see him, he's doing the Pet Sounds 50th anniversary tour.
You and him, you and Brian Wilson have something in common.
What is that?
You both watched Pet Sounds be performed at the Hollywood Bowl. He ain't doing that much. Look, God love him. I'm a bigger Beach Boys fan than anybody listening to this thing. I got more records. I got more of all of it. I've been into it, I swear to you, in high school. And look, I'm old, right? You know that. I'm old. I'm talking about the 80s when nobody cared about the Beach Boys. I'm the one buying these Beach Boys records, going to record shows on weekends, trying to find a copy of Sunflower, going week after week, finally track one down, bidding on things in Goldmine magazine, trying to win a copy
yeah,
of these.
Yeah,
what's that process?
Record
auction. Yeah, yeah.
You had to write in. They would list record auctions in Goldmine.
Right.
And you'd write in and say, I will bid this much for this record.
Does Goldmine have an internet presence now?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that seems like something that would be wiped out by the internet.
You just think so, yeah.
Right? Maybe they do. What are you doing there? Building a Lego house? Something? You got a lot of rustling going on over there.
Sorry, I messed with my keys.
But I'll say this, Evan. So I walk the walk with these Beach Boys. You name a thing with the Beach Boys, I'll tell you. You throw some Beach Boys trivia at me. Throw something at me.
I don't have any Beach Boys trivia. I'm nowhere near the expert.
For the day that you can, right? Come again.
Yeah, during the show, there was definitely a lot
Oh,
kind of passing off of vocal parts to other people in the band.
Look, God bless him. Brian Wilson's a genius. Yeah. But he's not. He's just not up for it anymore.
Yeah,
I want nothing but the best for this guy. I hope this is his choice to be up there. It's not the Eugene Landy. I hope Tyler Landy is back. His son, right?
Yeah, the Wondermints. Isn't that the band he's with?
Yeah.
I mean, they're kind of running the show.
But what
right?
if you look suddenly and he finds out the Wonderments is run by, what if you look, it's run by Tyler and Skylar Landy are the main guys. No, Brian, no, get out. Look out, Brian. They're back again. Don't worry, Pop. We got him. We got him back under control. Don't worry, Pop. We're going to ride him harder than you ever could, Pop. This is for you, Pop. He's played 3 shows a night. Yes, we're doing the Pet Sounds thing until the end of time. His hands fall off.
It's a cash cow.
Yeah, it's for you, Pop. Brian Wilson, this is a thing I have not told. A young me called WNBC, when Brian Wilson was being interviewed on the air, and asked him a question.
Nice.
Back in the 80s.
Oh, wow.
His first solo album had come out. What show?
Yeah.
What would that have been? Maybe the Alan Colmes show at that point?
Yeah.
Alan Colmes, before he was partnered with Sean Hannity, used to do a talk show on WNBC. And I called and asked Brian Wilson a question. I believe I asked him about Smile. That was when he had that song. I don't know if you remember that first solo album, Caller. Do you?
No.
It had the song Love and Mercy. Remember that song?
Okay, yeah.
Remember that?
That's a great song.
But you know what also? This is how into it I was. My favorite song of that era was the Brian Wilson song from the Police Academy 3 soundtrack. Let's go to heaven in my car. I'm gonna take you there tonight. Let's go to heaven in my car. For the Police Academy 3 soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good song. Let's go to heaven in my car. Rio Grande, remember that? Baby, Let Your Hair Grow. All those songs from that song. Isn't that solo album more than anything?
Uh-huh.
I tell you, I walk the walk, man. But you know what? I just want the best for the dude now. He can take it easy. He's up there watching. Brian? What is he singing that night? And I'm not putting him down. He breaks my heart, the guy. I don't want him to be in the same situation. It looks a little different.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you slide the parameters around a little bit. Guy's in the same box, but it just has different wallpaper on it.
Have you seen any of his, since he started performing again, shows? I went to one quite a while ago. And there was a heartbreaking quality to it.
Yeah.
Because he's up there, and you can tell he's not himself
fully.
And
but if he's happy.
Yeah.
Th- that's exactly where he should be then. Yeah. He should do that as much as he wants to do it. But if he's like trapped or doing it for his family or whatever, you know, because he got married over the last 10 years or whatever, I don't know what the deal is. I'm not going to even begin to suppose what the deal is.
Every sport has their big, juicy controversy. Boxing has the Mike Tyson ear bite. Cycling has Lance Armstrong. Baseball has its steroid era. Curling has Broomgate. It's a story of broken relationships, houses divided, corporate rivalry, and a performance-enhancing broom.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
Broomgate. Available now.
He seemed to be having a good time. I mean, maybe it was the venue.
Great.
You know, it might be better playing the Hollywood Bowl than some Indian casino somewhere. Al Jardine was there with them.
Right. That took a turn.
Yeah, right. Some Indian casino, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, the Hollywood Bowl, right? Mm-hmm. You see it with you, with your kind, right? Right? That's how you like it. Mm-hmm. Huh? I'm kidding. Sorry, Evan.
Well, we got the Indian casinos out here, too. But
my mom likes to go to shows at Indian casinos. She saw America recently at one. Mm-hmm.
A band that Neil Young, in his book, Waging Heavy Peace, which I read a month or so ago. First of all, this book, Neil Young book. Did you read it, Jason?
Is that the first book or the second book? One. Okay.
It's not the one about his car.
Right, okay.
But
yeah,
it is
I did
about
read
his
the
car.
First one.
It is about his car.
Completely about his car.
It's the first book is a picture of him wearing a hat on the cover.
Right.
The second book has a picture of his car.
Right.
Both books are about his car.
The first book is basically a blueprint to build an electric car.
Yeah. Yeah. The whatever. What is it again?
The Volt. Volt. Yeah. Yeah. The Link Volt.
The Link Volt.
Yeah.
Yeah. He starts to tell a story. Starts talking. And then we're working on Everybody Knows This Is Nowhere. And then the car, the Link Volt. Did I tell you about the Link? No, go back to the... He's starting to talk about... Well, we were doing the album on the beach. We had to, we got a cutaway from a car for to be stuck in the thing. And it reminds me with the Link Volt. No, talk more about on the beach. You're so close to telling stories about the recording of my favorite album.
And what killed me about that book, I don't know if you remember it, right at the end, right towards the end, literally like maybe the last five pages, he gives a very detailed description about writing a song on American Stars and Bars, the one of, like about the fish. It's a weird song on that album. And it's fascinating, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's almost like he's sticking it to you. You suffered through this whole book. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then on top of that, he's going to tease you and say, see, this whole book could have been this fascinating, but I'm going to give you two pages of it and just like say, you know, that's it. I'm done.
He moans about MP3s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pono.
He moans about, the Pono.
How's
and the
Pono
Link
doing?
Well, have you listened to a Pono before? Have you held one?
I haven't
one?
Heard it, no.
No, I have not. Have you?
Yeah, there was one at work last year when I listened to it. I couldn't tell a difference.
Yeah, of course you can.
Yeah.
What were you listening to on it?
I think it was
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, it was Californication.
Okay.
And
just that word. It's just upsetting. No.
Pono.
Californication.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's upsetting.
Both are upsetting.
Pono.
It's not even anything like you can't really fit it in your pocket. It's not.
It's shaped like a triangle, right?
Yeah, it's like
shaped
a
Toblerone. You're walking around the Toblerone bar all the time. Like... You accidentally stick your headphones into a Toblerone. Sounds the same.
You have a Pono in one pocket, you have a Toblerone in the other.
Well, if you notice it, I really do pick out the dynamic range of this. Hey, stupid, you stuck your headphones into your Toblerone bar. Somebody thought that would be the funniest thing. Well, if you actually listen, you can hear. Yeah, what do you hear? The nougat? And then somebody, like, he also eats like a Toblerone. He's also like, well, if you eat the, you notice the Toblerone bar has a certain, you're eating your Pono. Like, you're actually chewing on a Pono. Yeah. So with the Neil Young thing, in that book is like a bad, it's like reading a bad Neil Young album.
Yeah.
It's like, just think of those bad Neil Young albums and imagine instead of it being over in 40 minutes, it's over. It takes you 450 pages till it finally goes away.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is like a bad Neil.
It's rough.
There are points of the book where, if I remember correctly, he talks about like, oh, writing a book is easy.
There's a point in the book, 150 pages in, he says, so this is the first time I've even gone back and changed anything. I changed one paragraph. Could you imagine a book where you wrote 150 pages and you've changed one paragraph?
Yeah.
To get 150 pages into a book and you've changed one paragraph of anything.
Wasn't there even a point where he's arguing, he's talking about how he's just having arguments with the editors about what to put into the book? I thought that was he was even acknowledged something like that.
Yeah.
that the editors want him to do certain things and he's going to do it another way, his way.
It's nuts. Uh-huh. That book is nuts. And I love it because I love him and that's when he does a book, that's the way he chooses to do a book. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of awesome that he's always that guy.
Mm-hmm.
For better or worse, he's that guy.
Yeah.
And it's just, I give him credit and he gets an eternal pass from me for anything he wants to try. Cause who else is in their early 70s who's like going nuts?
Yeah.
Like full on, I'm nuts. And he did this album Earth Now, where it's him playing these songs, he puts in bug sounds.
Have you
all
heard
over
the sound?
I haven't even heard about
sounds.
This one.
No, I only heard about it.
It's unbelievable. The sounds are so shocking and put in such a weird manner.
Yeah.
They're not mixed well. They're very awkwardly placed. Where you just want to hear this, like, I heard Country Home on the radio the other day. And it's just like, then it starts the song. And then all of a sudden you hear like a crow out of nowhere, really loud out of the left speaker.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard, that he would do an album like that. I think that shows that he's just a genius who has never stopped being an insane. He's always been an insane person.
Yeah.
Sometimes it lines up with what people want and sometimes no one wants it. But he's never not been himself. Like, is there anybody you can think of who has ever been themselves more than him? Even in a way, I think he even goes deeper than like Bob Dylan in a way. Like Bob Dylan will still do like a dumb commercial or something. Like Neil Young is like, he's not doing a Victoria's Secret commercial or anything.
Like or a Christmas album.
But that's like a crazy curveball for Bob Dylan.
Well, it is still. Look, it's not like one beats out the other, really. But it's like Bob Dylan will still make these odd concessions that are his way of doing them that are just as weird as anything, like going on Dharma and Greg. The idea, just like he'll do an episode of Dharma and Greg is insane. But it's like Neil Young is almost like not even operating. Like he didn't even know what these things are in a way to even do them.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a moot point. They're racing the same. They're neck and neck. Those two guys. Now, Evan.
Yep.
How's your your summer? You saw the show.
Yep.
What's your favorite summer you can think of? When you think of the summer, what do you think of? Fun summer memories.
When I was a kid and outside of school, I remember the day after the 4th of July, we'd always go to the school playgrounds nearby to look for unexploded fireworks.
Mm. Did you find them?
That was a big highlight when I was a kid. But yeah, I had a pretty quiet summer. We got air conditioning. That was a big highlight.
That is a huge highlight. How hot has it been out in Los Angeles this summer?
I mean, nowhere near as hot as it's been everywhere else in the country, but, you know, even here it's getting really hot all the time, and the days where you definitely need it, and, we're glad we have it now.
And out there, you'll be the thing about LA is it'll suddenly be it'll be like late November, and suddenly it's like, yeah, it's 101 degrees.
Like summer goes through about past Halloween.
Yeah,
and it'll be 60 degrees in July, and all of a sudden, then summer starts after that, and it goes through the fall.
And it's so hot here. It has been so hot here. It is ridiculous how hot it has been. When I was down in Nashville and Memphis, I was like, this is hot. And then I came back here, and it was just as hot.
So it was just as hot as Nashville and Memphis. Just the mugginess.
Much. Yeah.
Yeah.
How it just felt impenetrable. Like you were just dropped into it.
It's been bad. It's been bad. Yeah. And they're saying, at least according to the Farmer's Almanac, we're going to have a rough winter based off of this summer. So.
Now, Mike, you're a big proponent of the Farmer's Almanac. Right?
He is.
I can't remember the last time I've seen one. Mm-hmm. They were around, though. They kicked around. My brother worked in a drugstore. And, when they would return them, they'd rip the cover off,
Yeah.
And he'd bring the Farmer's Almanac home every once in a while and just go through looking for some information.
Does it track?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it's wrong, but a lot of times it's pretty close. It's good for weddings. I know a lot of people get them for weddings to see if there's any planned rain or snow on their wedding dates, and it usually falls right within.
Wow. I got it.
Farmer technology.
I got to start getting into this farm stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Get down on the farm. Farm aid. When I was in Nashville, we went to the Willie Nelson Museum, me and my mother, and the thing is, it's like small. It's like really small.
Oh, really?
It's just like... It's like a store up front, and then in the back, it's like this museum, and they just have all his stuff, and then like other stuff from other country people, other artists, and it's like, yeah, that was kind of enough for me to see. I didn't need to go to the Country Music Hall. We were going to go to the Country Music Hall of Fame. The line is like out the door, and we go to this thing. It's like, okay, well, there's Dolly Parton's dress, and there's a thing from Porter Wagner, and there's the Johnny Cash thing, and okay, there's some Merle Haggard stuff and some Waylon Jennings stuff. Okay, this Kris Kristofferson has a thing over there. Okay, that's enough. Well, thanks for the call, buddy.
All right, thanks.
I want to tell you, the Best Show listener, about razors. And there's one thing the three of us have in common here. Clean shaven. No beards. It's the end of the day. Dudio could use a shave. But you don't have nobody's walking around with mustaches. It's not allowed on the Best Show. I run the Best Show like the Yankees in the mid-60s. I measure everyone's hair length and make sure there's no facial hair. And if you want to keep clean shaven, you know what you do? You go to Harry's.com because it's razors. It's tough, man. It's tough. You got these companies. They're putting out all these fancy schmancy models just so they can raise their already high prices. Well, Harry's... That's not how Harry's does it. They made a bunch of improvements to their razors, and they kept the prices exactly the same. It's still just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more you pay at the drugstore. And those five-blade razors include a softer flex hinge for more comfortable glide, a trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, a lubricating strip, and a textured handle for more control. You tried the rest. Harry's is the best. Why? It's founded by two friends who offered, they want to offer guys a great shave at a fair price, and they own the factory where they make the blades. That's how they keep the high quality razors available with the price being half the price of the drugstore brands. And the quality is always 100% guaranteed. If you don't love your shave, they will refund you. Harry's will refund you. So here's what you do. The Harry Starter Set is an amazing deal. So you get a weighted razor handle of your choice, moisturizing shave cream, 3 precision engineered 5-blade cartridges, and a travel cover for just $15. And for a limited time only, there's a special offer for fans of The Best Show. So you can get it for less. You get $5 off your first purchase when you visit harrys.com/best show. That's harrys.com/best show. $5 off your first purchase. Go to harrys.com/best show to claim your offer. Harry's. Shave your face, Brian. And it is that time of year. Football. Football is your passion. And you know all the players. And you know all the teams, their strengths and their weaknesses. Now go put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at $1 million top prize over at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doling out in this week's Week 1 contest. DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want with the players you want. You just pick your contest, draft your players, and you follow your team live. Renew old rivalries by challenging friends and family in a private league to prove that you are the superior GM. Or join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, co-workers, and fantasy players from all across the country. Hurry to DraftKings.com right now to choose your players, and you could seriously win some serious cash. And you could seriously cash in week one. And you could seriously cash in week one. Use code BEST and play for free with your first deposit. That's code BEST to play for free with your share of the $5 million in total prizes in this week one contest. DraftKings.com. Offer code BEST. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. DraftKings.com. Fancy sports, brah. Welcome to The Best Show. To whom am I speaking?
Hey, Tom. This is Sean in Los Angeles.
Sean what the what? Who the who?
This is Sean in Los Angeles.
Sean in Los Angeles. You're here with Dudio and AP Mike. What's up?
Nothing much. Are you guys still talking about summer?
Yes, we are. Tell me about your summer, Sean.
It's been kind of brutal.
Why has it been brutal?
Because it's really hot in Los Angeles.
Some dude just called and said it's not that hot in Los Angeles.
Yeah, he said it's been a good summer.
Yeah. So what's up? Who's lying? One of you is fibbing.
It's not me.
It's not you?
I don't know. I feel like I've lived here 5 years and it just gets hotter and hotter.
Where did you move from?
San Francisco.
Now, you know what they say about San Francisco. The coldest winter I ever spent was summer in San Francisco.
That's true. They do say that.
Not they. I said that.
Oh, pardon me.
Mm-hmm. And I was... That quote was stolen from me by Mark Twain. Took it, ran with it.
Was it Mark Twain or Jack London?
I don't know.
I think it's Mark Twain.
It's Mark Twain. Mike said Mark Twain. Let me ask you something. You see that Mark Twain, you know the thing he wrote that he didn't want to release till 100 years after he was dead?
His autobiography?
Yeah. Isn't that the weirdest thing you ever saw in your life? It's like... How many volumes is it?
I got that for Christmas 1 year.
Yeah. And you didn't read it, did you?
Absolutely not.
And nobody read it.
Yeah, I've got it. I haven't read it.
I kind of laid off. I saw some reviews. It wasn't that positive.
What's he doing on it?
I don't know.
What was he bad-mouthing people? I don't even know who these people are. Right?
Yeah.
Who's he putting down in this thing? They're gone also. What truth? What was it? Seriously, was he laying down some truths he didn't want people to hear about during his time?
I've never heard of anything completely risque in the book, though.
It's not like this Joe Pepitone book I just read, is it? I'm telling you, man. I read this book, this Joe Pepitone book. You could have, Joe, you could have made us proud. This is the filthiest book I ever read. Do you know who Joe Pepitone is, Sean?
Yes.
He's a baseball player, and he played for the New York Yankees, and he, in this book, it is like, the blurb on the cover says, one part ball four, the famous baseball tell-all. One part Goodfellas. One part Penthouse Letters.
Oh, my God.
And this book is beyond filthy. Mm-hmm. This dude was getting down.
I guess he doesn't have children. That he's not even thinking.
Don't worry, he's got children. Yeah, don't worry, Mike.
You know, he's got plenty of children. Somebody who has children might restrain themselves as far as details.
Not this book.
No, okay.
Not Joe Pepitone. No. Not Joe Pep.
That reminds me that there's a movie coming out about Bill Lee, the spaceman.
The spaceman, Bill Lee.
Bill Lee.
Red Sox pitcher, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the movie really does not look good.
I think that guy was overrated, to tell you the truth. They kept talking about what a strange guy he was and how weird he had a weird sense of humor, but I never really heard any real good evidence to backing it up, you know? Yeah.
Doesn't sound that, I don't know. Maybe I don't know the stories.
Yeah.
Did he have a lot of illegitimate children?
I don't know much about him. I just remember when he was playing, they used to just comment on this guy all the time. Oh, this guy has a weird sense of humor, you know? It's like, well, he's standing there out on a mound throwing a baseball other pitcher.
Baseball people are so boring where they think like somebody's in, like I remember as a kid, when I was a little kid, there was this guy, Mark Fidrich.
Yeah, the bird.
The bird. You ever hear of him, Sean?
No.
He was this guy where he pitched for the Tigers.
Yes.
And he was, I don't know how old I was. This guy I thought was the coolest dude who ever walked the face of the earth.
Really? Okay.
Well, because he was like a weirdo.
He
was like, he talked to the ball.
He talked to the ball. And
he did the thing. And then he was like.
Patting the mound.
Yeah, he was like wacky.
Yeah.
But it's like, he talked to the ball before he threw it.
Mm-hmm. Every single time?
I don't know if it was every single time, but it's like, that's it.
And he was just very excitable compared to every other pitcher. So he stood out. That's how easy it is to stand out.
And like he had one great year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then like he blew his arm out.
Yeah.
And that was it. Mm-hmm. And then he died. I think a car fell. His car.
Yeah,
fell
he was working. He was horrible. Working. He was working on his car. I think it was just changing the oil or something. Yeah. And the car collapsed on him.
But that's what it takes to be a wild man in baseball.
Yeah.
Said, he talked to the baseball before he threw it. Then you look at these other sports. You look at basketball, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. You get Dennis Rodman. Right.
Yeah.
It's a little weirder, right?
In football, I think a book about the New York Giants just came out, and there was like excerpts in the paper. Lawrence Taylor running wild with coke and, you know, it sounds
which
like...
Which era? From that era?
Yeah, I got to get that one.
I'll read that book. You know,
people, I'm gonna go people sleeping in the parking lot in the cars.
I'm buying that book tonight. I'm going to get arrested breaking into a Barnes & Noble with a flashlight looking for the...
Yeah, no. It sounds good, Tom.
I'm not going to read it till the morning, but I have to break in and grab it.
Bill Parcells was like talking to drug counselors because he thought he was going to have to these guys in and out of rehab. I mean, it sounded like it was completely out of control.
It's Bill Parcells.
And yet they won.
What a clown.
They won the Super Bowl. That's what a Super Bowl team was like back then.
This is my favorite thing about this. In this area, Sean, you might not know this. This Bill Parcells, you know who that is?
Yeah, the football coach.
Yeah, he's his coach. He was treated like a god for so long because he won two Super Bowls with the Giants. This guy, he's like this brash, loudmouth. Mm-hmm. Just like one of these macho jerks. Bill Parcells, like, and he's just like, he's like, oh, he won twice. And then the Giants go and they hire this old man who you wouldn't trust this guy to take care of late fees at the library, this guy, right? Yeah. They think twice about hiring Tom Coughlin to be a crossing guard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You wouldn't be sure if he's up for the task.
Right.
And he wins two Super Bowls.
Yeah, he did it.
And then you got, on the same team, two Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And on the Giants, that first team, you got Phil Simms, this macho, blonde, just Mr. Perfect. And all these guys are all patting themselves on the back. We won two Super Bowls. And then the Giants go get this one dimwit, Eli Manning. He wins two Super Bowls. This guy, Eli Manning, looks like the guy who football players would give wedgies to. But he's the Super Bowl quarterback.
He looks like the guy from the comic where he's trying to get in shape and the guy kicks sand in his face.
Yeah, the Phil Simms would kick the sand in Eli Manning's face. Yeah. He turned around, Eli Manning, hey, I got two rings too. I won twice. Yeah. It's funny how that works. It's funny how that works, Sean. Thanks for the call. Now, Mike, tell me about your summer. What's your favorite summer memory? You think about the summer.
Well, you know, I had an interesting incident last week. I'm doing other part-time jobs. I've got five part-time jobs right now. And I'm meeting some new people. I met a couple guys. We're in a bar and we're talking about music. You know, we were playing a jukebox and you know how you can like realize, you know, it's kind of like a music fan. You can sort of pick it up, the people, just by the music they're playing on the jukebox. So we get talking. And when one of the guys starts talking about this system he has, this sound system, I called it a stereo. He got a big kick out of that. I mean, that's the expression I always use, you know. And he's like, oh, you got to come over to my music room. You know, and it's like, I just met this guy, right?
So a guy saying, hey, Mike, come on over to my music
room. Right, yeah. It was two guys. It wasn't one on, you know.
That's even better. One can grab you from behind as the other one hits you in the face with a bat.
Yeah, maybe it was a little naive on my part.
At least
but
one you can give a fighting chance.
But there was something about them that I trusted. You know, they were actually a little older than I am. And, you know, it wasn't far from the bar. And I said, yeah, sure. You know, I probably will never see these guys again.
Yeah.
So we go over to his house. He had a beautiful house. And we go up into his attic. And
this is insane.
No,
this is bad already.
This is just starting, Tom. This is just starting. So we go up into his attic, the music room. And it was like something I've never seen before. I mean, you know, he's got the stereo, you know, up against the front of the house. And it takes up the whole wall. You know, he's got speakers. He's, you know, it looked like a spaceship. You know, there was a huge screen. You know, you could watch DVDs through the system above the stereo. I mean, I didn't ask him for an estimate on how much he invested in this. But I'm thinking, like, you know, it's got to be like $50,000 or more. I mean, I've never seen anything like this. You know, the turntable, I think he did throw out one figure for that. That was like over $6,000. You know, and that means he must have spent, you know, all this money on the needle, the tone arm, all that stuff. And it's like Stereophile magazine come to life, which, you know, it's like you see that magazine, it's like, who owns this stuff? Does anybody own this stuff?
You get there, and then this guy, what's he play for you?
Well, you know, that's the other thing. You know, he's gone whole hog digital. And he's got all these backup hard drives where he's got his computer hooked up to it, and he's got everything on all these hard drives. He's just downloading stuff like a madman. Mm-hmm. He sold 4,000 CDs to Tunes. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm sure he burnt everything onto his computer mm-hmm. first. And he's just sitting there scrolling through, and he's got everything, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. And then he starts playing stuff. And, you know, it's unbelievable. Of course, I had to ask for, you know, he had vinyl. He had, I asked him for Asia, you know, Steely Dan, to put it to the test, right? That's your thing. Yeah, he's like
the stereo demonstration system. So you get him there, and so you start playing. Asia. Like,
you got Asia, yeah. Side one, yeah, and it was phenomenal. And he's got, you know, like if you ever read any stereophile stuff, you know, like tubes are considered, you know, higher end. You know, to have tube amplifiers, and he's got two sets of them on either side of the core of the system, and he's got to monitor them because, you know, they'll start turning red. There's like little, you know, these little lights that turn red or green, and then if it's turning red, he's got to go over there and with like a screwdriver adjust these things. I mean, you know, it was crazy. I'd never seen anything like it. And so we were just sitting there, and he's got beers for me and nuts, and we're having a high old time. At one point, I went downstairs and I met his wife, and I think she like looks at me like, "Oh, here's another guy."
Please don't go back up there. My husband, so sorry.
Another guy my husband's dragged home from a bar, and yeah, but it was a good time.
Uh huh. That was more of a story that took place in the summer rather than a summer story. Say this.
It was a highlight of the summer.
I was on the edge of my seat with this thing. The only way I knew how it would end is that you're here telling it to us. If I had to guess how that story ended, the guy wouldn't be telling it.
No, I mean, sometimes I have a, you know, it's a happy ending to a story.
Yeah, there you go.
That was a good one.
You got to listen to side one of Asia at some dude's
house. Then we got into the Grateful Dead, and, you know, we were getting into that. But here's the thing. This guy's got so much music, Tom. I was, you know, getting him to play stuff, and it was obvious he hadn't heard it yet, you know. Mm-hmm. So he's got that OCD to get everything.
Yeah.
And he's got no time to listen to it all.
Of course
you know,
not.
After a certain point,
he was downloading it.
You acquire all that music, and then where are you going to find the time to listen to it?
You're not.
Yeah.
Pat.
Hey, I don't get the digital library thing when you put that much money into the.
Well, he didn't get rid of all his vinyl. He had lots of records. You know, he had CDs. I think it was just a matter of. The stuff was getting too much for him to deal with, you know?
It's just like...
And he felt like he was condensing it.
Here's the most expensive system I can show you.
I asked him about compressed music and all that.
Here's a crappy MP3.
No. I think, you know, he was playing stuff through his computer.
Like large files.
And it didn't sound...
Like FLAC files?
AAC,
whatever.
And I think he said he even had some sort of component for that. That you could run it through. Yeah,
probably a Pono.
No,
definitely
Tom,
a Pono.
Are you
that's got six Ponos hooked up.
Are you a tube guy at home? Do you have tubes?
No. At some point, I would like to just go in on a really nice stereo with tubes. Are you?
No. I have crappy computer speakers hooked up to a turntable that I've had since high school, I think.
I will say I've heard tube stuff played, and it does sound really good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I have enough of an ear to even just be like,
yeah, that's the thing.
Like in a taste test kind of thing, how good I would even be at that. But it sounded great when I heard it.
That's a warmth.
Yeah,
I guess so.
So,
I'll say one thing though. One thing that I don't even want to change my crappy setup at home too is that a friend of mine was living at my apartment for like a little while, and he was a mixer, and he didn't have the tools of the trade because he was displaced and living at my place, so he had to mix a record. So he mixed a 7-inch, a 45, off of plugging his computer into, like, laying on top of my setup at home, like on top of my turntable. He put his computer, plugged them into those little tiny computer mm-hmm. speakers, and mixed the record to those because it was all he had, and then turned it in. So I have a 7-inch in my library at home that I think sounds better on my system than anything else because it was mixed
expressly
just
for
this, mm-hmm. just to these yeah. crappy speakers, and I'm almost like I can never change it because I have a record that was yeah. cut for me, you know.
But there's been a lot of people over the like people who mix things because they know it's going to be heard in a car,
right? Yeah, so there's earbuds too,
yeah, or just like I mean Springsteen was in a lot of, like
Bob Dylan does that, like as soon as he like mixes a record. He goes and puts it on a boombox. Mm-hmm. You know, he wants to hear what it sounds like on a boombox.
Yeah, that actual people mm-hmm. are going to actually mm-hmm. hear it.
Yeah,
right. That makes sense. That's a good way to do it. I mean, yeah. And that goes back to like the crappy, you know, one, like 2-inch mono speakers that mm-hmm. would be in cars and everything. I mean, they 45s used to scream the sound off of them mm-hmm. compared to how they were mixed on an LP.
Look, there's been times when you go to like a record fair or something, and then somebody plays you a record they want you to check out on like one of those little boxes, like a turntable that has the speakers built into the lid.
One of those Crosleys.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds amazing.
Yeah.
And then you get home and you play it on like an actual stereo, and you're just like, oh, it doesn't sound as good.
Yeah.
Because something, just that trebly, it's like that's a lot of the music I've fell in love with was just heard on a crummy radio, right. And it didn't always sound great, and mm-hmm. it kind of taps into that sound.
It's all subjective, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, what sounds good to you, mm-hmm. and, you know, obviously this guy's got money to invest in it, and, you know, I mean, I thought it was amazing what I was hearing, you know.
Yeah.
And an attic.
Yes. Yeah. And somebody was talking about on last week's show, the speakers like rocks. I think he's got them outdoors.
Okay.
But I didn't go outside in the backyard.
Yeah, that's so silly. The
Pat, any summer things come to mind for you?
The smell of fresh cut grass, which I miss.
Oh, yeah.
I miss that living in a city. I love the beach. I like to go though, you know, for me, I look at summer like this. Summer goes till the calendar end of it. Like, I love September summer. Like, that's
sure.
when my girlfriend and I will go the most is because it's empty. Mm-hmm. There's no traffic. You can bring the dog. It's mm-hmm. I like going. I'll jump in the water, like, early October. It's great.
Absolutely.
The water in the East Coast is warmest around then, too.
Yeah. I get no argument from me with that.
Yeah.
Is that it just it does not stop at Labor Day.
No. But I think, like, the older we get as humans, the busier summer will end up being, or like mm-hmm. at least in your, you know, prime, quote unquote, adult life. It's just like summers just disappear, and it mm-hmm. sucks. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, man, like I'm never busier than when the summer is going on, and you know, it's depressing. I don't know. So.
Summer's almost gone. Remember that Doors song? Summer's almost gone. He sucks. Right? That's not good.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember Summer's Almost
Gone? I don't remember that particular song, no.
I think it was on Strange Days.
Would it be on
Strange Days? Yeah. Summer's almost gone. That's a poet wrote a song called... it's like a... fourth grader writes a song called Summer's Almost Gone.
Yeah.
Right? It's like a sentiment everyone has. Like kids. What's Jim Morrison like? Summer's almost gone. Book bags. Gotta wrap grocery bags around my books. book covers out of grocery bags, right?
Yeah.
New pencils.
Back to school summer sale.
Back to school sale. Getting some new pants at Macy's. Getting new pants. Whoa! Right?
Yeah.
New shirts, new shoes.
Yeah.
At book bag. Some new markers, too. Summer's almost gone.
That would be.
Yeah.
The version of that song I'd want to hear.
But it sounds like he likes the idea of getting that new stuff. You know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Like he's kind of excited about that.
Exactly. He likes the idea that, hey, I do have some new markers.
Yeah. Yeah. He's excited about Macy's markers. And his new pants.
Yeah. Yeah. Look.
It's not a cry for help. He enjoys
it. No. He's kind of into new book bag.
Yeah. When I got new Arizona jeans from JCPenney, I was happy every year.
I guess we'll date ourselves. It was Tough Skins from Sears for me.
Tough Skins. Wow.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Lunchbox. Summer's almost gone.
And the organ and the drums follow Lunchbox.
Lunchbox.
Slight pause.
All right.
Back in. It'd be so easy.
Lunchbox.
What was the best lunchbox you had as a kid? I had a Munsters. It was pretty cool.
Munsters?
Yeah, the Munsters.
Jason, lunchbox.
And I had a pretty good metal Spider-Man one.
Okay.
I always liked the metal ones. I was never into the plastic ones.
The Munsters
ones.
I preferred
the metal. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was spoiled. My mom would get me and my sister like a new lunchbox. I think the first like 3 years of elementary school. I think just to get us into the idea of like wanting to being excited about going back, we'd get, you know, I don't know. I had Ghostbusters, I had Turtles, all that stuff.
I had a Ghostbusters one. Yeah.
I think I had Ghostbusters 2.
The right Ghostbusters though, right? Not with four broads on it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The only Ghostbusters to me.
Yeah.
And then you got Too Cool for Lunchbox. And then it was brown paper bag. That was, you know.
Oh no. And then it was like getting lunch at school every day, like the square pizza.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Elio's.
Really orange chicken patty.
Mm-hmm. Not for me, man. I went across the street to McDonald's.
Every day?
Really?
Not every day. There was a McDonald's near
right
the high school.
Right across it, really? Wow.
And it was like a thing to see if you could sneak out to get to McDonald's.
The holy grail, right?
See,
can you make
which
it?
Kids can run out.
Wow.
Like just running out of the school, sneaking through the bushes get to McDonald's, and then like you have to eat it in the bushes. Like you can't eat sit at a table in McDonald's. The vice principal was probably going there every day just looking for some dumb kid sitting.
Just eating lunch there himself.
At a table.
That was high school?
That was high school.
Yeah.
Wow. We had the out to lunch. As a senior, you had the out to lunch privilege. So you could go. And in the early days of the schemer, I proposed, what if me and my group of friends on our out to lunch period, if we went to the neighboring high school and see if we could park, go into their cafeteria, and then go.
All right.
And we got away with it.
All right.
We went to West Orange High School and did that. And
was it better than yours?
Yeah,
that
was the lunch.
It was,
they have
it,
bag
it was,
milk?
It was terrifying because we all just kept looking around like we're going to get caught.
You're not enjoying this.
Right. But we did it. We got away with it. And then we tried to up the ante and go to Passaic Valley High School a couple weeks later, and we got caught on the lawn walking up. Security was a little tighter.
That is hilarious that you did that. The idea that's so perverse for you to just be like, let's go eat at another high school.
So bored. We were so bored. I was just
all the options, right?
I was like, how could we do something that nobody's ever done
exactly.
before?
That is Hall of Fame level
schemer
in that just kind of like this makes no sense. Like, it's just, like you're doing it as like, for somebody who's going,
And that was the idea.
Well, why would you do that? Like, of all the places you could go eat.
I almost wanted to get
you're
in trouble.
You're going to a high school.
Don't you have a cafeteria? Yeah.
Because they, like.
You have that at your own.
If their vice principal or ours, or in my mind, both, I kind of wanted to get in trouble for it because I just, even they would have to admit that that's pretty funny. Like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know?
Or, they just like, I don't even, can't even begin to understand what you're thinking.
Exactly. Like that.
You have this.
Yeah.
You went to you another school. You could have not gone out anywhere to get that same exact thing. And then you're
I would be like, yeah, that was the point.
That is,
this was a total goof.
Oh, my God. That is hilarious.
Did you think our chocolate pudding was going to be superior to yours? Yeah.
It's, like, it's the same.
Garbage.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's the same supplier.
Yeah. And the county buys this stuff.
But in hindsight, like just talking about it now, thinking about it right now out loud for the first time in a long time, how the one high school caught us, how the first one didn't. That first one, like, there was definitely some people who just let it go. Like, there was definitely some people who just were just like,
we don't know these kids.
We don't just let them, like,
because we they're looking like, around. They clearly don't know where things are. at this point, because you're a senior.
Yeah.
It's like, what seniors are walking in here trying to figure out where things are? Like, they're looking and they
everybody
clearly.
Everybody knows each other. I mean, West Orange was a bigger high school than mine, but, like, not by a lot, you know, and I don't know.
Excuse me, where's the cafeteria?
Exactly.
No one knows any of these kids.
Right.
They're coming in.
So somebody let it slide.
I doubt that would even be possible today, right?
Oh,
with
no.
Security.
Oh,
no, not at all. Yeah. That's the other thing.
It's a different world.
Jason, do you have any summer things that come to mind?
The biggest thing for me in summer has always been summer blockbusters. The feeling of the air conditioning while you're watching something either good or something terrible.
Yeah.
In 1989, I saw Batman 38 times.
What?
That summer.
Hold on a second.
Whoa.
Wait, we got...
Wait, what?
I saw Batman 38 times.
In the theater.
In the theater.
Oh.
Some days three times a day.
Batman.
Tim Burton's Batman.
At the same theater?
Oh, no, a different theater. So if I was visiting my grandparents in Utah, I would go see some...
You'd be like, tell me all of the... drop me off at the theater.
Yeah.
I'll be home at 10 o'clock tonight.
I'm going to see four shows.
I'm going to see Batman. What made you want to see it?
I was so into comic books, and there were no good comic book film. I mean, that was really like the start of it.
It really was.
And it was so exciting to me. I mean, I remember when MTV was giving away the Batmobile with Prince. They had that 1-900 number. I don't know how many times I called that.
I just remember how everybody had the shirts, you know, the T-shirts were everywhere,
it was insane.
I was so pissed off I didn't win the Batmobile.
Your parents must have killed you calling that
1-900. No, they knew. They knew.
What?
I think I used my allowance for it.
Oh, my gosh.
If I remember
that
correctly.
That sucks, though. The idea that a kid uses his allowance to maybe win a contest.
Like early gambling.
It's so depressing.
Yeah. Come on.
The idea.
Come on, pick up. Yeah. Just pick up. Prince, pick up the phone.
I just want that Batmobile. It's me, Slaw Dog. Just let me get that Batmobile. like picturing you, your accent was probably much heavier.
It was probably a little like this.
Yeah, just like, oh, let me get that Batmobile.
Sitting on the edge of a coffee table.
Come on, man. Pick up.
Batman was his summer job. I mean, that sounds like
that is
a job.
Yeah.
You're putting hours in there. Yeah. It's like long hours.
Yeah, Warner Brothers owes me a check.
Yeah.
You work at the phone bank.
Yeah. What if there was some kid seeing Suicide Squad 38 times?
No,
what would you tell that kid?
First of all, that's definitely happening.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah.
That movie is completely critic proof.
Right.
It does not matter that not even critics, that other consumers are walking out and going like, well, that sucks. And like the word is out from everybody that it's terrible. And then it's still huge. It's like, it's still like, people are still seeing it.
And not just the movie. Now the soundtrack is number one.
Yeah, because people really want to hear
The music.
War Pigs. I was listening to Bennington with our friend Gail Bennington, and she was talking about how she saw it and how bad. When I was talking about the movie last week, she pointed out how bad and obvious the soundtrack is on it, and she is 100% right. Did you see it, Pat?
No, but I mean, I can only, when you said that, I didn't even consider what songs were on that film,
Are the songs that are on the soundtrack the same ones that were used in the commercials? So like Ballroom Blitz?
No, that's not
Bohemian Rhapsody.
Okay.
It's like,
Is it a cover of Bohemian Rhapsody, right?
Yeah, that's at the very end of the movie. That's the, who was that again?
Panic at the Disco.
Yeah. Yeah. Not My Chemical Romance, Jersey Zone.
My friend Dan said, it's Hot Topic, the movie.
It is an insanely bad, there's nothing in that movie that makes you say, well, if they would have done more of that, it could have been a better movie. There's like no element in it that you're just like everything in the movie sucks. Like every part of the movie sucks.
It has the same score on Rotten Tomatoes right now as Batman versus Superman, which is 27%.
Batman versus Superman,
I heard, was better.
Is better than, and Batman versus Superman is the worst.
Oh, it's terrible.
This is worse because at least, like I said, this movie feels like they didn't finish it. Like it feels like they rushed it to get it to the theater on time. The Batman movie, they made the movie they wanted to make with that.
Right.
Here's the soundtrack. Let's go over a couple of these songs. Purple Lamborghini, which is Rick Ross teamed up. Finally, the Rick Ross Skrillex team up that everybody couldn't wait to happen. I got a purple Lamborghini. Rick Ross. Then Sucker for Pain, which is Lil Wayne, Wiz Khalifa, and Imagine Dragons. Well, that's an exciting pair.
Oh, Jesus.
21 Pilots are represented. Everybody's favorite, right? You like them, Pat.
I think
right?
That's the breakout single, that song.
You are like 21 Pilots, right?
Are they a new band? Or they...
Yes, they're a new band. It's terrible. It's bad. Bad stuff. Standing in the Rain by Action Bronson, Mark Ronson, and Dan Auerbach of the Black Keys. Who are these people? Were they just like, it's like jury duty. It's like they were just called. Suddenly they're like, okay, track four, we're going to bring in number 191, Dan Auerbach from Black Keys. Like, that's me.
Fallout Boy didn't get called. They're
44.
They're in the stands.
Action Bronson. I guess we're doing a record together. Yeah. Fallout Boy. No, they didn't get the.
Oh, God.
But the other guy's big, the producer, I think, is behind the Furious 7 soundtrack, which apparently was, like, huge, too. So this is, like, all music I'm, like, not even conscious that's happening.
Who buys soundtracks, even? I mean, what are these, just, like, iTunes downloads?
They go see the movie, and I guess they come home and just download it, you know?
Kids do.
Yeah.
I listened to the Batman soundtrack like crazy.
Yeah, of course you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's what people bought quite,
while watching the movie in my own.
But
more hours.
I'm going to say this. Jason, you have no idea. The next line of discussion has revealed itself tonight is that you saw Batman 37 times.
38.
38 over one summer. That,
yeah.
We're going to need to talk more about that over the, we should wind it up now, right?
Okay. Is it? Yeah. I think we're good.
Okay. Everybody, thanks for listening to the show. There might be more after this. There might not be. I will find out. Who knows? That's what makes it fun. But this was fun, and if this is all you get, you got plenty. And again, play for your shot at $1 million top prize during week one at DraftKings.com, the destination for one-week fantasy football. Use code BEST at DraftKings.com now and play for free with your first deposit. That's BEST. To play free for your share of $5 million. $1,000 in total prizes this week one contest. Only at DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See website for details. Best Show will be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.